thank you for listening to this sermon from Hope Church, Toronto West. It is our prayer that through these audio sermons, you are challenged and transformed by the Word of God, built up in love and faith, and drawn more to the person and work of Jesus Christ. We want to remind you that these online resources are never meant to be a substitute for God's good plan for you to be present, connected, and serving in a local church under the care of qualified elders. If you live in the West Toronto area and are looking for a local church, we encourage you to come check out one of our Sunday services. Now, as you prepare your heart to receive God's word, we pray that His Spirit would use the sermon powerfully in your life.
Hey, Hope Church. My name is Vince, and I'm one of the elders here at the church. And today I have the privilege to share God's word with you. But before we dive in, let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your generous love, your grace towards us. Oh God, as we turn to your word, Holy Spirit, would you be among us, Lord God? Would you speak to our hearts and transform us, Lord? Help us to listen carefully, diligently to your word. Oh God, would you be with us now? In Jesus' name, amen. So our text today is from Isaiah 55, verses 1 to 7. And if you have your Bible with you, just please turn to Isaiah 55 with me as I read. So Isaiah 55, starting from verse 1, it says, "Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And he who has no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen diligently to me and eat what is good, and delight yourself in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me, hear, that your soul may live. And I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. Behold, I made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and a commander for the peoples. Behold, you shall call a nation that you do not know, and a nation that did not know you shall run to you because of the Lord your God and of the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he's near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, that he may have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." We have a lot of text to cover today, so let's get right into it. And here in Isaiah 55, what we find is a beautiful invitation from God to people, to all people. But before we get into the verses, I want to give a bit of a context to let you know how we got to Isaiah 55. Isaiah, it's a book where God is speaking through the prophet Isaiah to his people. And for the first 39 chapters, God is really declaring judgment with some messages of hope. But the main judgment is that these people have been unfaithful to him. And they will be captured and be sent to exile. And then in chapter 40 to 55, what we find is God speaking to the people that are in exile. And even though they were in exile, they were still unfaithful to God. And so in chapter 49 to 55, God introduces this new character, this new figure called the servant of the Lord. And this servant of the Lord was good. He was faithful to God. And his followers were also faithful to God. And what we find in chapter 52 and 53 is that this servant is going to suffer. And so we have this famous passage that we hear oftentimes in Easter. In Isaiah 53, verse 5, it says, "But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities." Now, at that time, they had no idea who that servant might be. But for us, we know that that is Jesus Christ, the suffering servant. And because of what the suffering servant had done, that leads us into chapter 54 and 55, where God displays and reiterates a renewed covenant with his people. A covenant of everlasting love. He promises his people that he will be a husband to them and never leave them or forsake them. And now that leads us now to the chapter that we're looking at today, chapter 55. So the question is, how do people enter into this covenant? Well, in chapter 55, what we see is God inviting people to come to him, to come to the waters. And like I said, we have a lot of text to cover today, and I won't be able to cover all the things that I really want to cover, but I want to highlight two main points. So the first point is that God invites us to come, simply come to Him. Let's take a look at verse 1 again. It says, "Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and he who has no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price." And we can see from verse 1 very clearly what the central call of this text is. It's that God is calling people to come to the waters, come to me. But the question is, who is God inviting? Who is God calling to? And if we look again at the first sentence, it says, "Come, everyone who thirsts." So God is not calling, you know, just the righteous people or the religious people or the good people. He's calling everyone who thirsts. And it's, maybe it's not even people that are thirsting for God at that moment. Just that there's this longing in their soul for something. That God is calling people who have found this world wanting. And so maybe that's you today, that's you where, you know, you have, you know, done this or done this and tried that and have found that this world has really nothing much to offer. There's this emptiness that you don't know how to satisfy. If that's you, God is calling to you today. God is saying, come. Have you been searching for something? God is calling you to come. Now let's look at the text a little bit more closely. That there are two types of people that kind of falls under this category of thirsty. The first one is the ones that don't have anything and know that they don't have anything. You see in verse 1, it says, "He who has no money, come, buy and eat." God is calling the destitute, the poor, the people that have nothing, the ones who have no money. And now that could mean materially destitute, people that are having a hard time making ends meet. And it could also mean spiritually bankrupt, people that know that they've done wrong, people that know that they've sinned against God and think that they have done too many bad things for God to care for them. No. These are the people that God is calling. Say, come to the waters. Recall Jesus' ministry. He was there for the broken, for the outcast, for the orphans and the widows. He was also there for the prostitutes, for the sinners, for the tax collectors. These are the people that God is calling to Himself. And so maybe you're struggling to make ends meet, or maybe you feel that you have done too many bad things and you're too far gone. God is specifically calling to you today to come to the waters, to come to Him. Now, there's a second type of people, and these are the people that think they have something but actually don't. So look at verse 2. Isaiah says, "Well, why do you spend money on that which is not bread and labor for things that do not satisfy?" And so maybe you're like, oh, like I'm not poor, and I think I'm not a bad person. And maybe, you know, you're striving after what the world has to offer, looking for things that could satisfy your soul. You know, you try to do good, be a good person, earn your way to heaven, and try to find fulfillment in relationships or jobs or money or finding, you know, favor with people or whatever it might be, on and on and on. But what you found again and again is that these things leave you just feeling empty inside after a while. You may feel happy for a moment, but that happiness is fleeting. This is what Isaiah is saying here. Why are you spending your money on what is not bread? And why do you labor for things that do not satisfy? Jeremiah 2:13, God says to the people of Israel, "For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountains of living water, and hewed out cisterns for themselves, broken cisterns that can hold no water." And that's what we do oftentimes, loved ones, don't we? We chase after this and that and what the world has to offer. The world shows us this and that, and we run after these things. But these are just broken cisterns while our souls are thirsty. We go to these cisterns trying to get a drink, but there's no water because they're broken cisterns. And while God is here calling us, "Hey, come over here. I'm the fountain of living water." But we choose to go to these broken cisterns. So here in Isaiah 55, God is calling to us today. Come to the source of water. Come to the water. Stop chasing after these things. They will never satisfy because they're not true bread. They're not truly water. He calls us to come and to look away from these things, to find satisfaction in Him. So if that's you today, if you've been pursuing what the world's trying to offer you, and the world has left you empty, God is calling for you to come to Him, to come to the waters. So let's keep going. Well, what are we going to find when we come to God? Now let's look at verses 1 and 2. It says, come to the waters, come buy and eat, buy wine and milk, eat what is good, delight yourself in rich food. And so in as we come to God, He says that He's going to offer water, He's going to offer milk and wine and rich food. So what does these all mean? That these are analogies and metaphors. What do these mean? Let me start with water. Water is something that we need for life. We need to drink water to keep living. So what God is saying here is that if you come to the waters, you will find life. You will find what your soul truly needs. You will find sustenance and you will find salvation. But it's more than that, right? Well, here it says you're going to find wine and milk and rich food. But a lot of Christians kind of stop there and say, hey, I believe in God and now I have a ticket to heaven. And I guess I got to, you know, follow these rules and kind of don't do these kind of things. But that's not what Christianity is about. That's religiosity. That's not Christianity. God is not simply giving us the bare necessities of life. He's giving us milk for nourishment and wine for enjoyment and rich food to enjoy. God here is painting a picture of a great feast. He's calling people to come and enjoy Him, to take pleasure and delight in Him. Psalm 16:11 says that in His presence is the fullness of joy, and at His right hand are pleasures forevermore. Again, in Psalm 34:8, it says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in Him. Oh, loved one, have you tasted and see that the Lord is good? Have you known His lovely comfort? But when you are going through a trial, have you experienced His warm, sweet fellowship when you're feeling lonely? Come, taste and see that the Lord is good. Now, let me make it very clear. It's not about worldly pleasures. It's not about health and wealth. It's not about God giving you lots of money. But God, when you come to Him, He will give you true joy. He will give you true delight and an everlasting joy. And the most amazing part of this is it's all free. Look at verse 1 again. It says, come buy without money and without price. How is that possible? Remember the context. Remember chapter 52 and chapter 53, where we have this suffering servant, Jesus Christ. He has paid the price. That's why we could come and now purchase this without money and without price. Not out of our own pocket, but out of the blood of Jesus Christ. Now we can come freely to God to enjoy this feast that God has prepared for us. So how should we come to God? Verse 2 and 3 says, listen diligently to me. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear that your soul may live. So this passage, this verse is telling us we're not coming to God demanding, oh, God, give me this. God, give me this. Where often a lot of Christians do in our prayer. God, please give me this. Give me this. But rather, this verse says, incline your ear. Three times He says, listen, incline your ear and hear. God says in His word that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. And so here in verse 3, He says, listen so that your soul may live. Incline your ears. Loved ones, you know, don't go through the motions of church. You know, you come and go, you come and go. No, God is calling you to come and listen diligently, to feed on His word. Forsake whatever you're chasing after and come to Him. And the beautiful thing of this text is that it says that He will make an eternal covenant, an everlasting covenant with you if you would come. Again, it's not because of how good we are, but because of what the suffering servant has done, Jesus Christ. How amazing that the King of Kings, the creator of the universe, would come and make an everlasting promise with you, saying, I will never leave you, that my love is set on you because of the blood of Jesus Christ. And now he's beckoning us to come into this covenant with him. And the requirement is not, you know, our goodness. The requirement is simply, are you thirsty? Or are you hungering for something? Find your fulfillment in God. If you're thirsty, come to him. So that's the first point. God invites us to come. The second point is this. God invites us to invite others as well. Look at verse 5 and 4 and 5. Behold, I made him a witness to the people, a leader and a commander of the people. Behold, you shall call a nation that you do not know, and a nation that did not know you shall run to you because of the Lord your God and of the Holy One of Israel. Here now in verse 4, he's speaking about this servant. And he has made the servant a witness to the people. So he has made Jesus a witness to the people, a leader and a commander to the people. And look at verse 5. He says, you shall call a nation that you do not know, and the nation will run to you. That's the amazing part, that because of Jesus Christ, when we become witnesses of him, a nation will run to Jesus. That's a promise in this verse. And so Jesus is now calling us to be his witnesses, just as how God has made him a witness here in Isaiah 55:4. In Acts 2, he says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And in 1 Peter 2:9, it says this, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession. Why? That you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of the darkness into his marvelous light. God is calling us to invite others. And the amazing thing is that other will come running to him. Now, don't get me wrong. There will be people that reject Jesus. But here in this text, it says a nation will come running to God because there are people thirsty for God, thirsty for something. I believe God has much work for us, Hope Church. I believe God has placed us here in Toronto, literally where nations has gathered for a purpose. He has called us here for a purpose. So if we would just stop looking within ourselves and look beyond our walls, you're going to start seeing people thirsting for something. And they might not even know that they're thirsting for God. But what God has called us to is he wants us to call others to come to the waters. Look at Revelation 22:17. Here at the end of the Bible, it says, the Spirit and the bride, which is the church, says, come. And let the one who hears says, come. And let the one who's thirsty come. Let the one who desires take the water of life without price. Obviously that this is a callback or a reference of Isaiah 55. But here, the bride and the Spirit, the church and the Spirit are saying, come, calling people, calling the thirsty people to come. Can you just dream with me, Hope Church, that people would flock to Jesus Christ? Not because we're great, but because Jesus is great, because that's the heart of God, to call the thirsty to himself. So friends, it's not just a job of the pastors or the elders or the staff members or the small group leaders or the deacons. God is calling every one of us who have tasted and know that God is good to call others, call other thirsty people to come. And people will flock to him. Let us be witnesses of the goodness of God and proclaim his excellencies, who have called us out of darkness and into his marvelous light. Let me end with verses 6 and 7. It says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he's near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, that he might have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Simply put, now is the time. Come to him while he may be found. You don't know how long you have. You don't know when God is going to return. You don't know how long God's going to extend His grace and mercy to you. So if you're listening right now, now is the time. Incline your ears. Listen diligently. Come to the waters. Find true satisfaction in Jesus Christ. And in the same way, loved ones, that those who call Jesus their Lord, now is the time to invite others. Let's stop playing games. Now is the time to call others to come. Call your friends, your neighbors, your coworkers. Call them to come to the water. Call on the thirsty. And it's my prayer that people would flock to Him and find in Him true delight and find in Him their true satisfaction. Wouldn't that be beautiful? God here in Isaiah 55 is calling everyone, anyone who thirsts, to come to Him, to feast with Him, to enjoy Him forever. Let's pray. Oh, glorious God, You are magnificent. You are gracious beyond compare. Oh God, You love us so much that You call us to come just as we are, without money, without price. That it's not on our own righteousness, not on what we have done, but on what Jesus Christ has done that we can come. Oh God, I pray that even now people would flock to You. Oh God, work in the hearts of the people. Oh Lord, as they see their thirst in their soul, Lord, would they come to the waters? And God, would You move in the heart of Your people to have compassion on the thirsty, on the compassion on those who are still in darkness, so that we might proclaim Your excellencies, the One who has called us out of darkness into marvelous light. Oh God, we thank You for Your grace. We thank You for Your salvation. Oh Lord, would You make our church a church that calls upon the thirsty? And God, we thank You for Your promise. You said that the thirsty will come. So God, we look to You that You will do a greater work among us now. In Jesus' name, amen.
For more resources and information about Hope Church Toronto West, please visit hopechurchtw.ca.